Hello and welcome to our poster about how very short fragments of DNA containing just the core promoter are sufficient to drive tester-specific gene expression in Drosophila. And this is the results generated by a group of undergraduate students on a module called Advanced Research Methods. And these students are learning how to do research during year three of their four-year degree in preparation for their final year, in which they're going to be doing a much longer research project. So what we wanted to know in this work was whether the hypothesis generated from a relatively small number of previous studies that to get tester-specific expression, you actually only need a very small amount of DNA sequence, whether that's actually true when you scale it up and do some unbiased tests. So in thinking about how gene expression is normally achieved in a tissue-specific manner, we think about how the core promoter containing TATA box and initiator elements and so on are able to bind to general transcription factors and RNA polymerase. And this is essential for ensuring that transcription occurs, but doesn't, in the conventional view of transcriptional regulation, provide any tissue specificity. However, the tissue specificity comes from transcription factors, gene regulatory proteins, that bind to more distal elements, and they then activate or repress gene expression in particular tissues. And looping of the DNA and so on ensures that transcription occurs only in tissues that have the transcription factors expressed. But in testis, there are examples where a very short fragment of DNA, 100 base pairs or even less, flanking the transcription start site, is enough to cause expression of a reporter. A fragment that size doesn't have space for more distant regulatory elements. It only contains the core promoter. So what the students did was take one gene each and made a series of reporter constructs containing about 100 base pairs or about 200 base pairs or about 400 base pairs from each gene, cloned into a vector that provides a start codon and a LacZ gene as a reporter gene, but lacks any minimal promoter and lacks the transcription start site. So for the LacZ gene to be expressed, the fragment that we're cloning in, 100 base pairs or less of DNA, has to be sufficient to activate gene expression. And so the expected results are that if the fragment that we're cloning in with promoter transcription start site 5' UTR activates gene expression in testes, then when we do a beta-galactosidase activity, we'll get blue testes. And if it doesn't, the testes will remain not blue. So in sessions before they started in the lab, the students learnt how to use databases to find the gene sequence, expression patterns, function, and so on, and they designed the PCR primers. Then they came into the lab. They had 8 days in the lab over the course of 4 weeks, so Mondays and Tuesdays in the lab for 4 weeks, to do all of the molecular biology, cloning and sequencing, and deciding whether the constructs were right or not. And we sent them off for transgenics, we waited, and then when they came back, we got the transgenics back. We were then able to go back into the lab for two more days and do the staining. And the results that the students achieved are shown in the panel, highlighted as scientific results. Over the course of all of this work, they managed to get 46 reporter construct transgenics, and these ranged in size from 64 base pairs up to 430 base pairs, and we were able to assay 24 different genes. As an aside, I would say that Glenn Sweeney and myself, Helen White Cooper, we also did a little bit of the cloning as well. That was great fun, and the students got to realise that we made mistakes too. The results we got were that the majority of constructs that we assayed did drive gene expression in testis, only a relatively small number didn't. I've sorted the constructs by the size of promoter fragment involved, so how much DNA did we have upstream of the transcription start site. Shortest fragment only had 6 base pairs of DNA upstream of the transcription start site, and it's perhaps not surprising that that one doesn't drive expression, but it is perhaps very surprising that fragments with just 13 or 15 base pairs upstream of the transcription start site do drive gene expression in testes. What we found was basically if you had 41 base pairs or more of promoter sequence, that was generally sufficient to drive transcription in testes. Less than that was a bit more hit and miss. About half of the constructs with fragments less than 40 base pairs did drive gene expression, about half of them didn't. As a second, so what we did conclude from that is that yes, very short promoter fragments are sufficient to drive testis-specific expression. A secondary hypothesis we had, again based on a number of previous reporter constructs for different genes, was that the 5' UTR would be able to confer translational delay to many testis transcripts. And because our constructs contained 5' UTR, we were able to test this. If the transcription occurs before meiosis, if we don't see the protein accumulate until after meiosis, we can conclude that there's translational delay. And quite a few of our constructs did impose translational delay on the reporter construct. And these are the ones that are highlighted in, with a 5' UTR length highlighted in red on the scientific results panel. So we definitely found quite a lot of translational delay sequences in amongst all of our genes. So as a conclusion, we found good support for our initial hypothesis that testis-specific transcripts are short, that testis-specific promoters are very short. We also found that this is true for two different types of genes, genes that depend on a transcription complex called TMAC, and genes whose expression is independent of this transcription complex TMAC. So it seems to be something about testis rather than something about TMAC, this transcription complex, that is important in terms of saying that you only need short promoters. We also found that the 5' UTR indeed does often contain translational regulatory sequences. Overall, we gelled really well as a group of students with two academics in charge. Many of the students didn't know each other before they started, and they developed a very good friendship group within their cohort. Many of them had done very little molecular biology before, and their skills developed enormously. They went from relatively low confidence in this area to actually being able to go into their final year projects and their master's projects with a really good understanding of how the molecular biology works. These were students from both biomolecular, biomedical and biochemistry backgrounds, and those with a more genetic background found it easier, those with more biomed background found it harder, but they all learnt an enormous amount. It was great fun to teach, and almost all of the students found it great fun to be on the course as well. And thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the Alpestis.